Quite a few years ago, when I was just a young boy, probably around 6 years old, I couldn't have been any older than that, I can remember exactly what the day was like. I often wondered why I had that memory in my mind, but I can remember exactly the day that my grandmother said to me, "We're going out back here in the field and pull some mustard weed." I don't know whether it was so that when this time came and I was teaching about the mustard seed, I'd have some kind of example, I don't know. But at any rate, I hated pulling weeds. Many of us did and still do. But one of the things about the mustard weeds were they grew up, and in this particular section of property that we had sweet corn. And the mustard, for most of you who know anything about these weeds, would grow up and it would really multiply and it would choke out the good crop that was in the field if it wasn't pulled. So we'd go along by hand and we'd pull up these mustard weeds. I can remember it just like it was yesterday, how laborious it was, how torturous it was, but nonetheless, it makes a lot of sense to me now. Jesus was teaching by the Sea of Galilee and teaching in the form of parables so that people would understand a little more what he was talking about. After his temptation, it tells us in the Gospels that he began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," or "the kingdom of God is near." Okay, that meant different things to different people of that day. To the Jews, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven was the coming of a Messiah to rid their country of the Romans and liberate the Jewish people, so that they could be free to worship God, free to go to the temple again, free to resume their sacrificial system. That was their understanding of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So when Jesus came teaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is near," people didn't fully understand what he was talking about. So he began teaching in parables, as if to say to them, "This is how the kingdom of heaven works." And in these parables that we've learned about so far, he was teaching that the seed is the message of the gospel. That it's important to receive the seed or the message that Jesus was sharing. Although he said that there will be those who don't receive it. And there will be some who receive it superficially, but will turn away from it and reject it later on in life. The good seed is the wheat which brings glory to the sower. The wheat is the children of God. The weeds are the children of the devil. And the children of God will live among the children of the devil for a time, but when the harvest comes, the wheat will be brought in, or God's children will be brought into God's barns, but the weeds, or Satan, the devil's children, will be burned up. Using some great stories here, some great metaphors and so forth, examples to help us understand what this all meant. Now he comes to a point where he teaches them another parable, that the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven works like this, like a mustard seed. So he's comparing the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. The mustard seed was very, very small. It was the smallest of all seeds that they used. "It's the smallest of all your seeds," he says. "Yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants." In Palestine of that day, the mustard was an herb that grew to 10 to 12 feet. If you see any pictures of it, it grows into this great, big, enormous bush-like thing that just overtakes everything in its area. And they grew it as an herb to use in their foods and cooking. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants, and it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." The kingdom of heaven works like this, he says. It starts out small, but it grows, it stands out for all to see, and it provides a haven or resting place. That's how the kingdom of heaven is, he says. He uses the example of yeast in the bread, and he told them another parable that the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Well, you know, you have the flour and it won't rise until the yeast is mixed in, and it only takes a little bit of yeast, and then all of a sudden you mix it in and everything begins to rise and expand. So you can see the similarities here in the mustard seed and the yeast, in that the kingdom of heaven is something that starts out small but grows into something that's a blessing or haven for everyone. Now, remember that this teaching is for future reference. These were not to be doctrines, so to speak, that people were to hear and understand as what we believe. This was to be used as foundation for future teaching that Jesus would do for future reference. In fact, later on in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus talks to his disciples. Remember that they couldn't drive out the demon. So they said, why couldn't we drive it out when Jesus did? He said, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. So Jesus is using faith here in this example by saying, if you have just a little bit of faith, you can move mountains. Later on in Luke, the disciples were talking to Jesus, and they said to him, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So Jesus uses this teaching right now to set the stage for future teaching that he was going to do about the fact that it takes something so small in the kingdom of God. It takes something very small, just a little bit, to grow into something so much greater. It was the seed was the smallest that they used in Palestine at the time, but as it grew, it overcame everything else. It grew up strong. It grew up above all the other plants to become a resting place, and it provided for weary travelers. I ask you this morning, are you weary? Do you know anyone that's weary in this life that needs somewhere to turn for rest? If you notice that this mustard seed grows up so that the birds of the air can come to it and perch or land there in its branches, why would they want to do that? Well, they would want to do that for rest. They would want to do it for protection from the enemies around them. And they might also want to do it to look around and actually look for food in their life. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is the same way. It provides a resting place. It provides protection. And it provides a place from which we can, with assurance and peace, look out into the world to see God's blessings in other places. God sent the man to sow, and the parables tell us. The one who sowed the good seed was the Son of Man. The good seed was the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's important, he's saying, to receive this good seed, this gospel, deeply into our souls. It's important that we, like the good soil, receive the seed into our souls. Have you ever noticed that rich soil, good rich soil, is the soil that we have put manure on? Have you ever thought about that? That one of the ways that our hearts are prepared for receiving the gospel is to have a lot of manure of life dumped on us and mixed in, because it strengthens our faith in God. Because we know that through all the stench of this world, God's with us, working with us, stirring in us, bringing us to strength and perseverance and stronger in our faith. And if we receive the seed of the gospel into our hearts, someday we'll be taken into God's storehouse to be with Him forever. If we don't receive it, the Bible warns us, we're going to be burned up. Burned up. And Jesus is saying it works like this. It starts out small, like a mustard seed, like the yeast in the dough, and it works, and it sprouts, and it grows up, and it overcomes everything else around it, reaching for the sky, providing a haven and a blessing for all people. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And some people say, well, that's future down the road. But it's not. It is here today in our lives. Salvation is right now. Eternal life is right now. We are not what we will be. But we live in a different place, in a different light than the rest of the world who doesn't receive the seed. How many of you remember the old commercials about Brill Cream, a little dab will do you? You know, this is exactly the same thing. Some people say to me, well, I'm not good enough for all that. I don't really understand all that, so it doesn't apply to me. I can't accept it. I say, you need to accept it, though you don't understand. Because if you wait till you understand, you never will accept it. It's only in receiving it into our hearts and receiving Christ, receiving the message of the gospel, that our journey begins of understanding. We start to understand as the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, teaching us. Jesus said, I'll pray to the Father and He'll send you another advocate, another teacher, another helper. He will teach you all things. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to teach us and guide us through life, that we do understand better by and by, as the song goes. But all it takes is just a little bit of faith and belief. You don't have to be a theologian or a preacher, just a receiver. And God makes it grow. Remember when Paul taught this to the Corinthians? Many were following Apollos, some were following Paul. Paul said, well, after all, who's Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it's God that made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but it's only God who makes things grow. And you see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, by believing and receiving, God takes us, fills us, and helps us to grow into what He wants us to be. A blessing for those around us. For some who don't understand it, there's a wonderful progression in Scripture when you study it. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. In John 3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. His exact words were, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and the Spirit, speaking the flesh and then the Spirit, a new birth by the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You must be born again, he says to Nicodemus. People say, well, how can I be born again? John tells us in his gospel, and we talked about this at Bible study the other night, to all who received him, to those who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. So we enter the kingdom by being born again. We cannot enter the kingdom of God. Our old selves, our old self has to die, and we have to be new people to enter into the kingdom. And we do that by receiving Jesus. Those who receive Him die and are born again. The children of God are those that are born again. In Matthew chapter 13, we've been studying about these crops. And he talked about the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And he said, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared, because the weeds looked like wheat until the heads of the wheat appeared and formed. You see, in children of God, which he calls the wheat, or children of God, in the wheat, as they grow and their heads appear, they're transformed, as Paul said to Romans, by the renewing of their mind. We learn as we go along by the power of the Holy Spirit. Children of God, born again, growing up, producing heads, as we learn, we're transformed into what God wants us to be. Paul said to the Ephesians, you're included in Christ, having believed the truth of the gospel that you heard. You were believed in Christ, or you were included in Christ, having believed. So Jesus is setting the stage for this when he says, the kingdom of heaven, which the Jews were expecting, this king, this Messiah, the Savior, to come riding into town on a horse, this glorious king, this warrior ready to fight and kick the Romans out of Palestine. Jesus said, no, that's not how it happens. It starts out small, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows into something big. Little by little, it only takes a little bit of faith and belief. Only receiving that little tiny seed of the good news of the gospel into our hearts. Then the growth starts. Then the kingdom of heaven starts to be revealed in God's children. You can tell someone who is a member of the kingdom of God. Be around them for a few minutes. You can tell. It's evident who the wheat are and who the weeds are. And you can see the growth. And you can see the blessing. For those who have just received that little word of faith in the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ. It works like this, Jesus says. It starts out small. And then it grows, and it grows, and it grows. Makes a lot of sense when we start to think about Jesus' words to Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. Talking to Peter about, on faith like this, on belief like yours, Peter, those who believe like you, those who profess, when he said to Peter, who do you say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. He says, I tell you the truth. On faith like this, and profession and confession like this, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail over it. Do you ever feel like the gates of hell are prevailing in your life? I know a lot of us do, day in and day out. Satan is right there knocking at the door. In fact, he's pounding at it, trying to knock it down and trying to prevail in our lives. Because we're the children of God. And his desire is for us to be destroyed, not to grow and be harvested. All it takes is a little faith. Day in and day out, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Day in and day out. And we will see the blessing of that faith grow in our lives. Produce a haven for us, to protect us, provide for us, in the way that the mustard tree does for the birds of the air. I know it's easier said than done, but the Lord tells us that if we only believe, that He'll provide for us. Let's pray. God, our Father, we know sometimes it's so hard to trust. We know that many times we think we know what's best and we take things into our own hands. But your true children trust in you. We trust that a time is coming when you will harvest from this earth your people, and that we will be taken up to be with you forever. The enemy seeks to destroy us by sowing weed seeds in this earth, putting his own children around us to try and tear us down. But, oh God, I pray that as we live our lives day in and day out, you give us the faith we need to overcome. That we are overcomers through Christ. And that someday when that white robe is wrapped around us, we will look back and say it's all been worth it. That the battle's been won. And that all it took was a little bit of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close together by asking the Lord to dismiss us with his blessing. Number 237.